Superintendent Ogilvy reinforced that they're looking at all of the events that led up to this. And by that, I don't think he's just talking about, you know, reviewing the tape, seeing that the child got his jacket, left the building. I think he's also looking at the fact we know this is a child with special needs. And what the district seems to now be doing is looking at how that child has been educated, how he was placed in this kindergarten classroom, and was this child getting the services he needed? You know, when you talk about what led up to this incident, it's a lot more than events that probably transpired that morning or even that week. And it seems that the district is looking at all of those things. You know, board members on both sides expressed concern about what happened. Are the protocols in place? Are the policies in place? Again, the superintendent reinforced, we have protocols, we have policies, but at the end of the day, you're relying on staff to have access to them, to understand them, to implement them. And, you know, this is obviously a case where something went wrong.
Is there somewhat of a struggle, not only here in our district, but in other districts with special needs children?
Absolutely. And, you know, we chatted a little bit before we went on air. This is a difficult population. You see the numbers going up of children with different disabilities. You see the complexity of the disabilities changing as the years go on. I mean, tons of kids with ADHD now, tons of kids with autism. And some of these conditions are newer developments, or we're understanding more about them. And that forces the schools to kind of shift and look at what their programs are. How do you target these kids? How do you teach them? What can you teach them? And obviously, as a kindergartner, this is a child who had very little experience in the system, so they probably had very little information on him.
If this happens, how could a principal not go into a mode of let's go look at the video right away and let's call the parents right away and start putting implementation into place?
There do seem to be some breakdowns in the communication and the response. You know, obviously you can understand where this was probably a very high stress situation for the school, but I would imagine that there's many like that in any given day. And, it seems that the district is looking at that too. What was the response when this happened? You know, who notified who? What did exactly the principal do, the teachers do? There was a conversation at the board meeting. What point do you call the police when a child goes missing? We had teachers on the blog, and I will tell you, I've been in schools before and seen runners, and I'm not in schools every day like our teachers are. But, you know, for me to have been in schools and see this happen, this tells you that this is not necessarily an uncommon situation. You know, some of the teachers on the blog were saying more often than not, the students are found in school. Obviously, this is a case where he did manage to leave the campus. So, you know, if anything else, it does appear that it has raised this issue as a matter of attention to the board. And also, I think some of these other issues regarding special needs students and are their needs being met in the classroom so that they're safe.
On another topic, Ogilvy proposed a leadership change. I was reading it on your Twitter account. Can you talk a little bit about what he's looking at structurally and how that's going to be a better thing for the district?
It's a fairly minor change, which compared to past administrations where you see this kind of, you know, huge overhaul and shuffling of people. The key thing that he did was take out the deputy superintendent position, which then put more people reporting directly to him. His take on it was this allows him to kind of put together a cohesive team, you know, rather than having people filter through a chain of command. But it sounded like his goal was to really have access to the people overseeing critical parts of the district, finances, academics, technology, and have a real direct line to them and guiding them. Also thinking that we know he's not going to be around forever, and how long he's around is a question that's up in the air. So from his comments at last night's meeting, it sounded like his goal is to really have a team so that when he does eventually step out of that role, that there are people who are in a position that they can kind of keep things running until someone else can step in. So kind of eliminating some of that bureaucracy, you know, changing some of the titles around in a way that might make it more clear what people's jobs are. But again, you know, nothing too drastic, and it was well received by the board.
Sounds like it might have been long overdue to work a little smarter in those areas, too.
And that's, I think, his take on it was his hope is this will help them work smarter and more efficiently.
The Martin Luther King Jr. School, they're looking for requests for proposals. They're still trying to turn that school around.
I believe the resolution had it ending at the 16-17 year, where they would basically, starting next school year, start phasing out grade levels. By that year, they'd have to have everybody phased out and a new program phased in, or the school would just close. Keep in mind, too, they are under the state's thumb on this. So there will be a point where if Buffalo cannot meet its deadlines, the state will likely come in and close that program. You know, again, though, even just discussing dates and issuing an RFP was an extremely lengthy conversation. I can't even imagine what it's going to look like when they start getting RFPs and have to actually make a decision about what program to put in that school. So these will be interesting schools to watch because there is obviously a lot of tension on this board. There's obviously a huge philosophical difference. You have some board members clearly advocating to turn these schools into charter schools. You have other board members pushing back, I think, increasingly tougher and saying, no, we want these schools to remain district schools. So, that's going to be a key hurdle for them to get over. It's not always clear where the superintendent falls on those sides. I think at this moment in time, he's just trying to get some of these, the ball rolling on these proposals to meet the state regulations. But that's going to be kind of when the rubber hits the road is when these RFPs come back. They're going to have to make some serious decisions about what to do with these schools. And if they don't do it or they prove they can't do it efficiently, my guess is the state will come in and do it for them.
Yeah, I did talk to Regents Bob Bennett, and he said that they've had a team in working on these failing schools with the city district. He did indicate, though, that if they do believe that they need more time, they're willing to give them a little bit of extra time to do this. Is that something that you've heard indicated to the school board and to the superintendent's office?
For now, they've had time too before. And you look at an MLK, and I was at the meeting, I think, last March when the former superintendent brought the proposal for MLK to the board the day it was due to the state after the deadline had already been extended. So, I do think the state's willing to give them some flexibility, but you have a situation where the state has already given them a lot of flexibility. And I think, they're willing to give them a little bit more right now because you do have new leadership in place, but this district has a history of taking the extra time and not, making good. So how many times will the state let us just keep going back and going back to the drawing board? Because then, obviously MLK, they originally wanted to close it and reopen it as the medical campus, and then they backed off that plan, and now they're trying to come up with something new. So, it's this ongoing saga, and meanwhile, you have hundreds of kids at that school, and Ogilvy said at the meeting last night, you walk into that school and you notice there's something missing. Once you start this process, you can't go back, and it changes the tone at the school. It changes the atmosphere. People know that a school is eventually closing. So, in that respect, just in terms of school culture and effectiveness, time is of the essence. And, Larry Quinn was kind of pushing to do this quicker. And, there was some discussion on the board about whether or not that was a good idea. But, how long do you let these schools hang out there in limbo?
Well, Tiffany Lankus, thank you so much for sharing all the education that you're covering. And we'll see you again next month on Press Pass.
Sounds good. Thanks, Eileen.